will call to order the full committee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. And we will begin with House Bill 5002, Representative Butler.
Good morning, colleagues. House Bill 5002 is the budget bill for the Department of Administrative Services. DAS provides the services state agencies and which are required to fulfill their mission. The department prepares economic forecasts and directs the development and execution of agency budgets while maintaining statewide accounting and payroll systems, and also provides facility purchasing, mail, and print service for state agencies, and I might add as well, some state agencies or some other municipal agencies can spin off from our purchasing opportunities that the state provides. The Department of Administrative Services is funded by other funds from assessments and from fees charged to other agencies for the services it provides. The department also receives general fund resources for its economic analysis and prison population forecasting functions, as well as for four policy offices. Number one, the Governor's Natural Resource Office. Number two, the Oregon Health Plan and Research Office. Number three, the Education and Workforce Policy Office. Number four, the Community Development Office. Subcommittee reduced the total budget by $12.4 million and 27.73 full-time equivalency positions from the Governor's recommended budget. The major reductions include $243,500 of general funds, $7.3 million of other funds, and 4.5 full-time equivalency to obtain a 4% administrative reduction. $1.5 million general fund and $1.6 million of other funds and 15.23 full-time equivalency, which is the entire budget of the Oregon Health Plan and Research for planning and policy research. We did that so that this budget and this office could be considered with other expenditures related to the Oregon Health Plan. $1.1 million in general funds and four full-time equivalency positions and two policy packages for the Governor's Natural Resource Office. One package would provide increased resources for the Oregon Salmon Plan, and the other package would have gone to one position to staff natural resource specialists in Washington, D.C. $600,000 of lottery funds and $141,000 of other funds for two policy packages that depend upon passage of substantive legislation. One is for gambling addiction treatment, and the other is for the employing persons with disabilities. The subcommittee's actions will result in reduced assessments to state agencies of $2.3 million. About 30% of this reduction is general fund, which is $697,000. This budget includes $5.3 million in lottery funds, which is passed through the county for gambling addiction treatment programs. The subcommittee approved the addition of several budget notes, including one requiring a variety of reports on technical issues, two directing DAS to play a major role in helping secure E-rate funds and to develop policy for access to the Attorney General services, and another note on state systems. Recommended budget of 824.83 full-time equivalency positions and $390,983,077 of total funds is a 3.1% reduction from the Governor's budget and less than 1% greater than the 1995-97 estimated expenditures. DAS's budget includes $223.1 million in non-limited other funds and $31.6 million of non-limited funds covers debt service. The General Government Subcommittee recommends your approval on House Bill 5002.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. Senator Carroll.
Madam Chair, I think the committee did a good job with this budget. I think DAS is reasonably satisfied with it, but there are some things that are left over from this budget that need attending to in other budgets. I think the issue of the Washington office, especially dealing with natural resources, is an important issue still to be determined. I believe also in the health program, the administrator's office or the overall administrator of the health, the staffing there is still a leftover issue that needs to be determined. someplace before we get done here. I wanted to point those things out. Thank the chair very much for his good work, but those are issues that are left over.
Thank you, Senator. Yeah, and I particularly want to make it very clear the health plan office, the Office of Health Plan Policy and Research, will still remain part of DAP. It will simply be, their funding will simply be discussed in the Human Resource Subcommittee with Senator Cusa. And Senator Farrelly will be taking up the other issues in natural resources. We just dealt one, all of the health plan to get a look at. Very few people understand how much the entire health plan costs. And if we put all of those costs in one place, it's easier to understand, even though they will still be in DAP. Other questions? Representative Sherry.
Just a question, I don't know, for the Sheriff Committee or the co-chairs, but with regard, is there going to be any Washington, D.C. office to represent Oregon or interest there in some of these nationwide type issues?
We discussed the Washington, D.C. offices. There's still folks assigned to Washington, D.C. at present, and that was one of the items that we'd asked. We do get some kind of a full accounting as to how many people we have on a full-time, part-time, and contractual basis, and they are to bring back a report to overall to consider that, and that can be considered at the same time that Senator Farrelly discussed, because a lot of that is relative to natural resources. Right now, a half-time plus the budget is provided through OEDD. But we kind of wanted to get a feel of everything that's happening in Washington, D.C. Felt like DAS was a good place to address the whole gamut of issues in one place.
Just a follow-up comment. I too would like to commend the committee and the chair in particular for their work in the assessment area that spreads to a lot of different agencies, and I think it's probably at least that much that is general fund. So that's really outstanding work, and the only reservation I had was a little bit. I like the idea of consolidating the D.C. offices. I just want to make sure we have some representation there. That's very, very important, I think.
Yes, sir,
and so what is the next step on considering the D.C. office, because in the Human Resources Subcommittee, we did eliminate the staff for the D.C. office in the Human Resources Subcommittee, and we recognize that there will be extra travel that our representatives will have to make. And in other words, if we don't have somebody there to represent us on those issues, and this is not like lobbying for more money. It's like responding when we have regulatory crises that are going to cost us money. And so where is that discussion going to take place now?
Well, with regards to the natural resource, it's going to take place in Senator Farrelly's room.
Okay. I guess I'd just like to draw attention to the fact that we need to take a look at the cost of that operation and be sure that we are, in fact, balancing, because in another place in the budget, we were reducing the travel for some of the individuals who will have to travel. So we just need to take a realistic look, because we do want ourselves to be represented in Washington or at the federal level when we have these funding challenges.
Okay. Any further questions on House Bill 5002? Okay, are there any objections to the passage of this budget?
I'll be a no vote.
Please note that Representative Ross is a no vote and Senator Yee is excused. Any other no votes on this budget? Okay, hearing and seeing none, House Bill 5002 has passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We will move now to House Bill 5012, Representative Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 5012 is the budget bill for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The agency has a variety of regulatory programs, including workers' compensation, Oregon Occupational Safety and Health Administration, insurance and finance, building codes, and the Office of Energy. The agency is supported by assessments and fees charged for services, including workers' compensation assessments and license and inspection fees. The agency also receives federal funds for Oregon OSHA and Office of Energy programs. The governor's budget was reduced the governor's budget had a reduction of 1.1% to the current service level. The subcommittee reduced the governor's budget by $1.7 million. Reductions do include $1.5 million based on expenditure history, $715,887 from vacancy savings, $68,075 from reductions in the Attorney General's charges. The subcommittee also reduced the applications development package by $226,274 and two FTE, pending review by the Information Management and Technology Committee. The subcommittee added $687,220 to the claims closure package to fund the adjustments approved in Senate Bill 220 and $250,000 for a study on the issue of major contributing cause in the workers' compensation system. Six FTE hearing staff were restored pending action on the hearings unit bill, House Bill 2525, and will be deleted if the bill passes. The subcommittee added budget notes that require the agency to conduct workers' compensation study, continue efforts related to farm labor camp inspections, and then establish an apprenticeship program for OSHA. The agency will establish several work groups to address issues related to agency programs and performance, and will report to the next legislature on the outcome of these activities. The subcommittee recommends approval of a budget of $170,978,323 other funds, $462,627,657 non-limited funds, and $5,388,424 in federal funds, and 1,206.85 FTP. I also want to just depart from the scripture a minute and just to illuminate one particular point that I'm particularly pleased with. As you heard in my remarks, there were some budget notes, but I want to point out the one budget note. Will read as follows: or OSHA will work with members of the legislature and the public to explore various options to implement an apprenticeship program that focuses recruitment efforts on candidates whose knowledge, skills, and other abilities will assist in specialized outreach efforts. Outreach efforts will include, but are not limited to, residents of farm labor camps or other communities that need targeted information on occupational safety and health. The results of this effort will be reported to the Emergency Board prior to the beginning of the 2001 legislative session. Madam Chair, that budget note was the result of a number of us visiting farm labor camps and also the hearing we had here at Full Ways and Means some months ago regarding farm labor camps. And essentially what the budget note a number of us believe will accomplish is actually have members of the community who live in farm labor camps be trained to be the inspectors for or OSHA of those farm labor camps. And there's a feeling that that could dramatically change the living conditions of some of those residents of those labor camps. And I wanted to point that out and also compliment the co-chairs for including that. I'm very appreciative of that. I can't hardly think of accomplished this session that I personally am more proud of than to have that budget note in there.
Thank you, Representative Warner. Are there questions for Representative Warner? Representative Schrader.
Just a quick clarification. I too like the idea of making sure that all the individuals, particularly those that work hard on our farms, and well aware of, you know, their rights. And so I just want to make sure that the idea behind these notes were to kind of help and empower both farmers and farm workers in terms of how they look at their situation. It wasn't meant to be punitive against honest, hardworking farmers. The idea was to try and help them meet the goals and standards that we'd like to see for all business and worker relationships. Is that correct?
Not only is that correct, I don't think that there's an issue with 90% of the farmers. I think there are, and this is a rough estimate, 10% of the farms or farm labor camp workers reside, but the other 90% of the farmers would find appalling. And this would be an attempt to get members of that community trained who can then communicate with farm labor camp workers on a much better level about their conditions.
Yes, I'd hope that also that in the future, once we've got this issue hopefully lined up, that we'll be looking for the same improvements in worker conditions within the cities where there's some questionable housing practices, quite frankly, and, you know, and the same outreach should go to the, those people, because a lot of people move from maybe the rural setting into the urban setting and want to give them the same protection. And maybe next session we'll look at
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any further questions for Representative Warner? Representative Ross.
I just wanted to comment that in subcommittee I was a no on this budget. A little bit of a yes today and a yes on the floor. The major concern I had was in Senate Bill 287, which adds a surcharge, raises from 5% to 7% the surcharge on city building inspection costs. And that money is spent in this budget. I was against that because I think that the city of Corvallis is receiving very poor value for the investment now, and I was opposed to increasing that. However, Mike Greenfield, the director of the department, has assured us that he will work with the city. He recently met with 20 city managers and building officials in an effort to address that problem. And they do need money to operate, and so since that bill is passed, I will be a yes on the budget. I do think I commend the staff and the department, and with the exception of the Building Codes Division, I think this department is doing an outstanding job, and we appreciate their fair approach. And as I said, Mike Greenfield has made a commitment to try to improve the relationship and the service to cities in the coming biennium, and he's an honorable person, and I take him at his word.
I do have to ask any further questions or comments on this budget.
Okay. I'd only declare a potential conflict as an insurance agent. I'm licensed through this agency.
Okay. Good. All right. Are there any objections to the passage of House Bill 5012? Okay, hearing and seeing none, House Bill 5012 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I would like to thank the subcommittee, and I should have thanked the subcommittee on the gas budget. I thank the subcommittee for their hard work on this budget. It's a lot of different divisions to pull together. Thank you. Okay, we will now move to House Bill 5033, Senator Hannon.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move that House Bill 5033, the Housing and Community Services Department, be re-referred back to the Committee on Transportation and Economic Development.
Thank you. Senator Hannon has moved that House Bill 5033, the budget for the Housing and Community Services Department, be moved back to the Subcommittee for Transportation and Economic Development. Senator Hannon, you want to give a brief explanation?
Yes. Madam Chair, members, this is the budget for the Housing Community Services. Part of the governor's livability initiative is an element called the Community Solutions Team. This budget has four positions that were deleted from the budget bill when it was sent out originally. What we would like to do is take this back in search of four FTE positions for authorization, but also include language that they can use T21 funds only to the extent that these funds are not available for highway usage. Instead of just referring to them as federal funds, we want to make sure that it's money that cannot be used for highway maintenance or some other highway associated activity. Rather, they can be used as planning funds if they're designated as such. We hope to take this back, insert the amendment, and originally we were talking about dealing with one bill for all these community solution schemes. And because economic development, DEQ, and LCDC's budgets have already come out with the community solution schemes in it, we need to take care of this one element that we haven't been able to deal with yet. So I would encourage that we send it back, a quick amendment to it in our subcommittee, and we can bring it forth again.
Thank you. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Warren.
I have deep concerns about this budget as it arrived, and given that it's going back, I'd like to raise these concerns here, hopefully with the idea that some additional adjustments can occur. It is my understanding that the subcommittee cut $5 million of general fund money from the budget, from the governor's budget, that would have been used for low-income housing, and that that action effectively froze the funding for housing, low-income housing, at the 1997 level. Further, I understand that the co-chair directed the subcommittee to leak the governor's community incentive fund, which included an item of $25 million of lottery-backed bonds that would have been used for low-income housing, because apparently there's concern that there's too much reliance on lottery-backed bonds. And I'd ask, compared to what? It's hard to understand why we would make these kinds of cuts, given the dire housing situation in this state. And I'd like to know if we could have some discussion back in the subcommittee about restoring some of those monies, or at least the lottery back bonds.
Madam Chair. We would certainly entertain any discussion that the representative might have, but I think you have to also realize that we try to work in cooperation with the co-chairs. When we bring a budget out like this, it's meeting the criteria so that we can fund education and some of these other activities. Not that housing isn't important, but we're trying to meet a large demand of meeting other areas too. This budget is still 8.5% above the current service level, so it's not as if we reduced it below the current service level. We have actually increased it over the current service level, but it's under what the governor recommended. That's definitely true. But we did increase the budget, and we set aside some opportunities in the e-board for the food bank and others to come in and request some additional funds if they become available. So certainly would be willing to entertain any suggestion that the representative might have.
Well, Madam Chair, in reviewing the numbers in terms of the housing budget, this budget is actually less actual dollars, not adjusted for inflation, but actual dollar for dollar. It is less than what the housing budget was in 1991. And I do appreciate the dilemma with respect to housing and human resources cost versus education, but there is a solution to that as well, but apparently that's not going to be addressed. But what I find mystifying then is that the $25 million of lottery-backed bonds is not authorized. That does not compete with general fund dollars. That does not take money away from schools. And I'd like to have an explanation why we can't have at least the $25 million in lottery-backed bonds for low-income housing.
I'd be more than happy to accommodate you, because the House leadership has set a criteria on how much lottery-backed bonds are going to be used for this session, and that falls outside the limitation that's been established. So I think if you rightfully so have a concern, that's something you should speak to the leadership in the House about, because it's the House who's chosen to put a limitation of $70 million in total lottery-backed bonds. And this amount falls outside that limitation.
Well, Co-Chair Lewis, I include you in House leadership. Could you explain the reason?
Yes, actually, you will notice in the governor's budget, he's using $140 million in lottery-backed bonds. We are actually using $170 million, 100 of it to K-12, and the other $70 million goes to very, very necessary economic development projects, Columbia River dredging, natural gas pipeline in Coos Bay, and the various water, sewer, and other infrastructure programs that were brought to us in the governor's budget, which totaled $45 million. Those projects actually total more than $170 million. We have a slight problem with that. But we, as you may remember, very early in the session, we had a presentation from the treasurer's office on how much lottery-backed bonding capacity we have already used up.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically, with the $170 million in bonds, will use up a third of what we have left. And since the lottery revenues are not growing, there's just a feeling among House members that we just can't continue to use more and more lottery-backed bonds. And that to use up more than basically a third of what we have left in this biennium really will reduce options for the next two biennium if we use up more than that this biennium. So there's, and that's just a, you know, that's just a deep felt feeling in the House that we don't want to continue to go into debt even more than we already have. And we want to leave some options for the next legislature. Many of you will still be here next session. So that's kind of where we are on the lottery-backed bonds. And there are things that we're not quite sure how to address, but our economic development package does total more than $70 million, and yet we only have $70 million. So it's a concern.
But am I incorrect in lottery-backed bonds used for low-income housing if they're actually paid back by the rents generated from the low-income housing? Or at least subsidized the payments back?
Well, I think, though, that it still takes up your bonding capacity. That's a conversation we can have maybe outside this particular meeting in the sub. And maybe we can get a clarification on that. Okay, are there any further questions on the motion to move House Bill 5033 back to the subcommittee?
Oh, sure. Just again, could a carrier indicate what changes will be made when it goes back?
Madam Chair, we'll reinstate the four positions that were deleted for the Community Solutions Team. We will also insert a budget note that says that highway dollars cannot be used for planning, that it has to be federal Key 21 funds that are prohibited from being used on highways. The governor's office has agreed to this and said they're not interested in using highway dollars to do planning in housing community services. So the leadership, the governor, and our subcommittee is all in agreement with this proposal.
Okay. Are there any objections to moving this budget bill back to committee? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 5033 has been moved back to the subcommittee on transportation and economic development. And we will now move to Senate Bill 5505, Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Colleagues, I think you'll have to look far and wide before you find a potentially more controversial issue than the Columbia River Commission and the Columbia River Gorge Scenic Act, Scenic Area Act Administration. Well, the bill we have before us today, Senate Bill 5505, is the appropriations bill for the Columbia River Gorge Commission. The commission was authorized in 1986 by the creation of the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act and then created through the Interstate Compact between Oregon and Washington. The compact took effect upon ratification by Congress. These actions established the Commission as a permanent regional agency with responsibility for land use policy in a 292,000-acre national scenic area. The budget recommended by the Natural Resource Subcommittee totaled $658,318. These are general fund money. The recommended budget represents a 16% reduction of the government's proposed level. The budget restores reductions made in the 1997-1999 biennium, but continues the direction of greater accountability on the part of the Commission by reserving $100,000 of the total appropriation to the emergency fund. The Commission is also directed to request these funds from the Emergency Board after providing a status report on progress in conducting the first review of the National Scenic Area Management Plan, That review is required under federal law and is scheduled for delivery in 2001. The interstate compact requires Oregon and Washington to equally share commission operating costs. When combined with the state of Washington approved funding, the recommended budget supports approximately 8.5 FTE. These are all Washington state employees. The budget also includes the transition of the six Gorge commissioners from Oregon. Assistance to the three Oregon counties for additional planning responsibilities under the Cheney Act will be included in Department of Land Conservation and Development budget. In discussing the budget, the committee expressed its intent on linking this increase in funding with improvements in services. The committee expects the commission to be more aggressive and more responsive, more to landowners' concerns, and to develop an expedited approval and appeals process to assist local residents and planners, and more aggressive in developing their approach to the to release the federal appropriated dollars for economic development in the area. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5505. Colleagues, since we reduced this budget in the 1997-99 legislative session, we saw a resolution of mapping errors that had been a problem of almost a decade of standing. We saw much more cooperation between the county and the Columbia River Gorge Commission staff for reconciling issues in the planning of the county's and the application of the county's work on the scenic area administration. We also saw a much better responsiveness in terms of just communication between the scenic area act administrators and the county. The three Oregon counties have aggressively supported the budget for this Columbia River Gorge Commission, and we will continue to monitor the progress of the commission in delivering a service ethic in the administration of the Chief Area Act. So I recommend approval of this budget.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This was a very difficult budget for our committee to deal with. In all due respect to the chair, I still have a lot of problems with the budget. As was stated, this commission was set up and has been going now for 12 years. They still have 30,000 acres that they have not dealt with as far as either purchasing the land or the development rights of the land. I've had a lot of correspondence, both we heard at the hearings, but also in my office, of people who are still having problems with dealing with the commission. I think they've got some management problems. I'm just very concerned. I, however, do support that they have worked closer with the counties. I strongly support assistance to the counties at the local level and letting them deal with it. But I still do not believe that they warrant increasing the budget. I will be a no vote. I would like to see the federal government step up to the plate and fulfill their commitment, which they have not done at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Mesley. Are there further comments on this budget? I guess I would like to echo many of Representative Mesley's comments. I believe that this commission has not treated landowners properly, and I too am disturbed that they've been in existence for a long time and have not dealt with many of the issues that they were charged with dealing with. And as far as assisting the counties, you'll notice in this budget we have moved all of the grants to the counties to DLCD, and we did that for a reason. It's because the commission, the Columbia River Gorge Commission, even though they have been given money to give out to grants to the counties, has made it very difficult for the counties to get those grants. And I think that shows a commission that is not friendly to our local governments and is not friendly to landowners, and I will be voting no on this budget as well. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With all due respect to our senator from John Jay, who is actually the lifeline on this particular issue, and I appreciate that
a number of my constituents have expressed concern over the management of the board, and some of the perhaps ideas have been spawned from the media, but there has been a great deal of concern expressed from my district about expending money for continued management of the gorge in this fashion, and I just wanted to express that concern.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Should I ask the good senator if the issue such as the house that was placed in the gorge came up in any of the discussions?
In response to the good senator's question, it did. The residence is the subject of litigation, so I don't know if it's an appropriate.
Well, that's fine, but is litigation part of the expense of this budget?
Litigation costs are shared equally by Oregon and Washington, and they will be as part of it.
Even though if I couldn't name it, even though it's not a jurisdiction that we have control over, we have to pay for it.
Madam Chairman, that is in fact the case. All the expenses of the compact are divided equally between Oregon and Washington. And although that is somewhat meddlesome, the issue is one that we are bound by Congress with. And let me just suggest that were we not to fund this budget, the administration is seeing very active calls to the U.S. So the Forest Service is, in fact, the manager of last recourse at the state of Oregon or Washington. You do not fund to the level of adequacy that operations of the area. That disturbs me greatly. We do agree with the commentary that we've heard today from our good representative Nestor and from Ursula Butler. There are management changes, including top staff changes. Our Phoenix area administrator has been announced his reassignment or acceptance of a job in out of state, out of the area. So we'll be seeing a management change at the top levels of the administration of the Phoenix area acting. It's our opportunity to bring these management concerns to direct focus in selecting a new executive director for the community of work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. True.
Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, this is a tough budget for me also, but you know, it's always been said, and it is said too much, that the co-chairs run committee. We do and demand what's done in those committees and so forth. And I suspect we've given more leeway to chairs than we have in the past. I'm going to vote for this budget for the reason that the senator from John Day is the chair of the Natural Resource Committee. He's probably been involved in this issue more than any one of us with the many hearings he's had in the district. I was criticized a bit last session when we cut this budget, which I understand that's brought good things because they are now more accountable and so forth. And that comes from the senator from John Day. So I think as the chair of the Natural Resource Committee, for sure he has a full plate in this process. And I think it's important that we take care of ballot measure 66 and those type things. And I think to have the connotation going into the process that very few budgets have come out of his committee, that this budget coming out of his committee is an indication of how we are willing to cooperate and make things work in the gorge and in Natural Resource Agency. And I'm going to stand behind the chair of the committee and vote for this legislation.
I actually want to compliment the committee chair, John Day, who's done a great job of balancing the interest and the concerns, some of which have been articulated in the meeting today. Certainly, we do have a lot of concerns about being people-friendly to people who live in the gorge and having a district that adjoins the senator from John Day's in the gorge area. I, too, hear a lot of comments, issues, concerns, and lately some compliments from the changes that are going on with the gorge commission. But as the senator from John Day pointed out, it's so very critical to understand is that funding or no funding, the statutory obligations of the Columbia River Gorge Commission do not go away, whether they're dollars or not. And so some of the problems that we have heard about being able to work with individuals in the gorge would only be exacerbated if, in fact, they didn't have the resources to help those people. And the chair has done an excellent job in trying to raise the level of accountability. Some of that is moving those dollars to the emergency board, some of those to the different counties. There has been changes in the commission from people actually living in the gorge commission. It is all part of the evolution that I think is going to make it more accountable. I'm going to be supporting the budget, and I think we've got a pretty good thumb on the concerns, and we're going to keep driving on those. I mean, it's critical to meet the needs of the people who actually live in the gorge.
Thank you, Senator. Senator,
I just have a question for Senator Congonde. You mentioned, Senator, that if this is not funded at this level, or some level, that the U.S. Forest Service could take over the commission's duties because of the Scenic Act. How would they review plans and all the things that the commission is doing right now? What would be your prediction of how they would handle that?
They would handle the job miserably, just as they do the National Forest Management in Oregon, Washington, and Region 6. But they do have permanent full-time staff located in Hood River that does administration for the Scenic Area Act, and it would be a matter of them seeking an emergency appropriation to up staff for the administration of the Scenic Area Act. What that would do would be analogous, I would think, to defunding one of our agencies that's required for permit processing and overview or review of planning decisions. I would anticipate it would be, at least outside the incorporated areas of the gorge community, no activity, no approvals, no land development, et cetera, without an extreme process, an extremely bureaucratic process. Right now, we've got the Scenic Area Act ordinance is in place on all the Oregon counties. There has been coming together of the county planning staff and the county government, locally elected officials, to have a more seamless interface between the counties and the Gorge Commission. In most cases, it works well. The obvious exception has been the BHA, which, by the way, happened before any of the budget cuts went into effect from our last legislative session. So the two items are not related. I can only tell you that having lots of personal experience with Forest Service management, that would be a default situation that we would not benefit from in any sense.
And the other question I have is about the litigation that is currently going on, and how much of this budget is for the cost of that litigation.
Madam Co-Chair, to Senator Cusup's question, we discussed a little bit of the cost of the litigation, but we didn't. There's no way for us to know how much the cost potentially are, because this is one of those land use issues that potentially could go to the Supreme Court.
So we don't have an estimate of what the litigation is going to cost?
The litigation, we did not ask for a litigation estimate. We've been supplying counsel for members of the commission and the executive director throughout the processes, and so far there have been administrative hearings through the commission itself. So, but there are threats that it would be going through an appeals process.
Well, I guess, Madam Chair, my concern about that is I would have thought that the bulk of this budget was for the litigation. And we ask agencies here, when they have attorney general costs that we have to pay for, to account for that and to have an estimate for that. But so what is this $568,318 for? Just the people who function here in the commission? It's not for attorney fees?
Madam Chairman, Senator Cusup, those are for the shared cost of the roughly 8.5 full-time equivalent staff for the Gorge Commission. Part of the sales tax mechanism that we have on legal fees is that we have $100,000 in the emergency board. the anticipation that they have legal money, they're going to have to come to back to the legislative body through the e-board to discuss those things. And what we do not know is whether or not there will be a litigated appeal. And we would get those estimates from the Attorney General and bring that information back to the e-board.
You don't know any?
Evidently not.
Any questions? Okay.
Well, I'd just like to maybe give the other side of the coin. I mean, I understand that there have been some coordination problems between the Gorge Commission and some of the local planning departments. But I guess to that, I'd say those of us who are without sin cast the first stone. I mean, there are human errors that occur, and I suppose I think that we need to have some tolerance for that and understanding. But I think the larger issue is that I was hoping to hear discussed here that I haven't heard discussed, so I feel compelled to bring up, is the bigger picture of what the Gorge Commission is charged to do. The Columbia River Gorge is not just a treasure of Oregon or of Washington or even of the United States or even of this hemisphere. It is of the world. It is one of the most scenic spots on the face of the earth, and most Oregonians don't appreciate it as much as people from other countries who come here and visit the gorge. You can't drive up on a summer or spring day the Columbia River Highway and get a spot at Multnomah Lodge to park for all of the visitors, most of whom are from other countries who are in awe of the gorge. So in the course of protecting that area, there are going to be occasionally some mistakes made, and I understand that. But I also expect that Senator Ferriola has worked towards to have some accountability for that. That's fine, but I also think it's good for us to be mindful of the larger picture of what it is they are charged to do, and that is to preserve a world-class historic natural scenic area, not just for us, but for our generations to follow. So I suppose during this controversy in the last few years of the Gorge Commission, I've always tried to keep that in mind and understand that it's got to be just a thankless job being there trying to implement what it was Congress wanted implemented in the Gorge without having hurt feelings. I don't suppose that that's possible. That's going to occur. But I do support this budget, and I actually appreciate that the work the Gorge Commission does.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm going to make a request of a good representative not to speak in favor of the new bill, but I agree.
All right.
He's a bad man.
We've got to get moving. Are there further questions or comments on this budget? Okay. Are there, who do we have as no votes on this budget? Measurely. All right. And Lewis is a no. And you have a no vote on this budget. Okay. House Bill 5505 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And we're going to move to our other budget bill because I'm worried we're going to get drawn to the floor here. Senate Bill 5530, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 5530 is the budget bill for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Parks and Recreation Department manages the state campgrounds, day use areas, and waysides. In addition, it operates programs relating to the ocean shores, the scenic rivers, recreational trails, as well as historic reservations. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends a total budget of $104,745,395 and 459.13 full-time equivalency positions for this department. This is a reduction of 2.1% of the governor's recommended budget and an increase of 26.1% from the 1997-99 current service level. The budget bill is amended allocates the full amount of expected Measure 66 funds. The budget supports $19,433,595 of additional limitations for administration and operations, including number one, ocean shore education, number two, historic and cultural grants, number three, museum grant and aid, number four, Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Plan, and finally, updating the state outdoor recreation natural resources plan. The subcommittee also supported $15 million for for facility maintenance and construction, $4 million for land acquisition, $5 million for local grants. The budget notes direct the agency to report to the emergency board regarding one, a cash allocation plan, and two, status reports of facility and improvements maintenance projects, number three, a long-term land acquisition plan, and finally, a grant criteria for local park grants. The subcommittee anticipated a modest reduction in the department's user fee supported other funds, and anticipating the revenue will remain at or near the current service level. However, if revenue increases these increases are realized and the department demonstrates a solution to a cash flow problem, it can request a limitation increase from the emergency board. Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question to the carrier on a local park grant. How those funds would be, those grants would be allocated and how they would be dispersed?
We set aside $5 million for those local grants, and we didn't develop a criteria necessarily of how those would be developed, as I recall, Senator.
Madam Chair, Representative, what we did was put the money basically in the e-board and indicate to the parks that they should come back and develop some criteria on how the local community grants for parks are supposed to work, and then we will have gas reschedule the funds. So basically, we just unscheduled the amount of money waiting on some criteria because nobody had that at this point.
Follow up, Madam Chair. The reason for that question is my understanding is they have had a process in the past for local grants, and my question is whether they would be using that same process or if they're looking at a new process for awarding grants.
Well, the directions we gave the Parks and Recreation Department was to look at including other things that might be identified as park usage, and try to look at expanding it rather than narrowing it down.
Representative
Schrader. Just a comment, Manager. I'd like to express my appreciation to the co-chairs and the chair of this committee for reducing the board holdbacks. I think I understand there are some serious reservations and how that money was going to be allocated and some responsibility questions, and I think we have taken care of that with the budget notes, and hopefully that will get us where we need to be and not run afoul of any constitutionality or questionable areas in that regard. So I appreciate the co-chairs and the chair for us to work in that area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question to Representative Butler. Am I reading this correctly that we've reduced the general fund expenditure by $60 million from last biennium?
We've reduced general funds out of the recommendation is to take all of the general funds out of the Parks and Recreation. The governor had reduced it from $11 million down to $29,187. And that was for the Pioneer Cemetery Program, and we removed that Pioneer Cemetery Program out of the general fund and moved it over to the lottery fund.
And is that because of Representative Mannix's bill last night that moved the Pioneer Cemetery Fund to the parks?
I think it's probably the other way around. The parks needed to be allocated to the
the cemetery need to be allocated to the parks for management and oversight.
Right, right. So I guess what I'm getting at is that, and of course, we've all gotten a lot of correspondence on this subject, and I'm assuming what I'm getting at is what we have done then is backfilled with lottery dollars, general fund dollars, after the passage of Measure 66.
Yes, again, following the governor's lead, the $11 million that was included in the budget from the last biennium, he had recommended it drop down to $29,887, and with the bill that was passed in the House yesterday, that authority to administer the cemetery, the Pioneer Cemeteries to the Parks and Recreation, basically all of that funding would have been coming from Measure 66 resources.
Madam Chair, I am not going to support this budget because I believe, after receiving the volumes of correspondence I have, that Oregonians voted for Measure 66 because they want to invest above and beyond what we had appropriated in previous sessions, the last session, of course, being $11 million for the parks. It's my understanding that there are some acquisitions with this kind of budget that are questionable because of our not funding it to the level from the general fund as we did last session. For instance, I know there has been some discussion about the purchase of an island on the Oregon coast, Wayland Island, by the Oregon State Parks. So there's an entire island for sale for some $2 or $3 million that the owners of the island would like to sell to the state. For the purpose of creating a state park, and this island apparently sits right at an inlet with a magnificent view of the ocean and whatnot. And because of that, because of our actions here, there may not be the funds to purchase that island, and it could fall into private hands once sold, developed, and lost forever. So that was just an example of. What I think is some bad planning on our part, and I appreciate the dilemma that we're in this session with in terms of balancing the budget, but as I mentioned earlier, there have been alternatives proposed to raise funds to adequately fund schools, the parks. Those have been disregarded, so I have to reluctantly oppose this budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as we talked before, the proposal that was floated by committee was to put out more bonds. And we had the discussion about previous, and the governor put $200 million, I think, in bonding in the case of 12 buckets. So, you know, as someone who would like to be here next time, I think we need to be careful where we're going with bonding and be fiscally responsible. I think we had this budget before. We talked about this issue, I believe, in full about the backfill and those types of items. I think of, you know, those people who objected and made a record on this. I came back just to deal with the emergency board reservation issue. There was some question about the legality of that. I said in committee, and we'll say here, I think we can retain some of that in e-board just like we do in programs to make sure that we're getting what we need. But this was the decision that was made by leadership, and that's why I voted in favor of it. I would have frankly liked to see us reserve some of that in e-board, and I feel that we have the constitutional authority to do that. I felt like I need to make a record in that. On that, I made that in committee, and we'll make that now because as the legislature moves forward, I think that there's going to be times where some of that needs to be done with the e-board so that we can ensure that things are done properly and parts are administered properly. But I think we've made an adequate record in regards to full back, in regards to backfill and no backfill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for not making this statement earlier when I had an opportunity. But I'm going to be a yes vote on this budget, but I just wanted to state for the record that I have some grave concerns about the management and the credibility of this department and how they deal with counties, with landowners, and other people involved. Obviously, my district, which is the South Coast, has a lot of contact with this department. And the credibility of how the department works and how the management and the director operate, I'm very, very concerned about. hopefully that will be addressed in the next 2 years. And for that reason, I'm going to vote in favor of it. Hopefully they can move forward, but I'm very concerned.
Thank you, and who was first?
Madam Chair, whatever the problems are for the Parks Division, it seems to me that we need to solve those problems, and we need clearly to have adequate funding. And I think the people of the state of Oregon sent a message to us that they want the park system funded and funded well, and I don't think that we're hearing that message with this budget. So I'm really pretty disappointed in the way we're responding. The value of our state park system, it's really, really been a gem that benefits us all so much. It benefits tourism. It's of great value to the state, and we're neglecting this park system that is so important. And I think the people feel that. I don't know whether you all are listening to me or not, but I think the people do believe that we ought to be funding the park system as part of what we do for tourism, as what we do for the future of the state. And I don't think we're there with this budget.
Okay. Madam Chair, there are several issues that's been raised here. The good representative from the South Coast indicated his concern with management. As chairman of the subcommittee, I too indicated there were some serious problems with management, and it was right at the top. And he even went as far as go visit with the governor and indicate that I think they need to put the management under a review team to determine what's going on. Last session, we approved $15 million of lottery-backed bonds for maintenance and all these other activities. It's now almost the end of the biennium, and all they spent was $5 million out of the $15 million. So if they can't spend more than $5 million a biennium now, pray tell, how are they going to do with this extra money to go out and do some more bonded indebtedness?
Madam Chair, we just need a good Democrat in there. We'd spend that money. First 6 months to buy it.
That's me, Leonard. Senator Hammond, continuing.
But let me say this, that the committee shared a lot of the same concerns. But as you'll recall, this is the governor's proposal to back these general funds out and backfill with lottery funds. I try to support the governor as much as possible. And this is one of those cases when I'm trying to support my governor on his recommendation. So we adopted his recommendation in approaching this issue, and I would certainly encourage the members to support it as well.
Thank you, Senator. Ms. St. Brock.
I will be supporting the budget. I do share the concern about management. I think that Senator Pro has said that the people in the state of Oregon want top quality parks, and they're very interested in ice. I concur with that sentiment fully. When people voted for ballot measure 66, they wanted more money for parks. That was the general thrust, and I think the public does feel that way. But I would also point out that through the resolution of these issues, we are increasing the parks budget by 20% over last year. No, we're not buying everything we'd like to buy. We're not buying everything that will be very good to buy. But I think this is a responsible compromise, and many of the issues were worked out, and I appreciate the subcommittee's hard work in doing that. And at the same time, I share Senator Hannon's concerns about the management, and I'm happy to hear that you have visited with the governor about that, and I hope that the governor took to heart your suggestions and will, in fact, provide some backup for management to this department so that we can get the very best value for our dollars.
Madam Chair, I was a no vote before, and I'm still a no vote. It is $15 million general fund that's taken out from the budget and there is still about $120 million backlog in cost projects that we are not taking care of, and we are not complying with people's wishes. So I'm still a no.
Senator Tim?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just can't help but say something. When I look back to last session and they increased the park budget 30%, one of the biggest increases, or the biggest increases I've seen since I've been here, this is a dramatic increase in the parks budget. I wish we, would get credit when we have these big increases, because I hear too many times that we're decreasing, and people are saying that we're decreasing, but we're not. This is a 20% increase. It was a 30% increase last session. We're crying out loud. Let's be proud of what we're doing. These parks have never had as much money as put forth, and maybe they're not spending it correctly, but I have had Mr. Minum in, and he showed me the project, and I suggest that all of us, I believe it's next week, they're having Park Day, and all of us go and look at some of the positive things that are going on in the park, so maybe we wouldn't have to criticize this budget today. And of course, we've already heard this budget once. I'm hearing the same again.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Leslie?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'd just like to echo Senator Kim's comments that we all have good reason to be proud of this budget. I mean, in addition to the 30% increase last biennium, we've increased the budget 20% this biennium, and then if we increased every budget by 20%, if we spent the tobacco money, the kicker, in our grandchildren's trust funds, we'd still be $1.5 billion underwater in this budget. This is a very generous budget, and I don't want anyone inferring that it's not. Please know that when you vote for this budget, this is a generous allotment to parks. We're concerned about parks.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to make sure the record's pretty accurate here. A couple quick things. Number one, I am not the governor. I am representative from my district, so I respectfully disagree with the governor on his allocations. And a good senator from Southern Oregon may like this particular allocation.
Oh, I honor authority.
That's been my problem in his committee, I think, is what he's indicating here. beyond that, if I may, real quick, I think to get at it, the $15 million actually has been allocated at this point in time. It has been allocated. I think maybe it's all not completed, but all that $15 million from last session has actually been allocated at this point. And last comment I'd say is that it's actually the voters that put that extra 20% in. We were a little reluctant here. We had gone last session, so I would point out, actually, in my opinion, it was the voters that really gave us that directive, and I'm pleased we at least went down that far of the road when they allocated the dollars. Thank you.
Representative
Lynch. Well, I would just, Representative Schrader stole my message. I was, before we get carried away patting ourselves on the back here too heartily, we did not increase the budget 20%. The voters did. They passed ballot measure 66. Okay. Am I wrong?
Well, no, but I mentioned 97 session before.
And I appreciate that's right.
30% without the voters.
And that's right. That's right. And I agree with that. And you were instrumental in that. I was just on the issue of this session. I thought it's important to point out that the voters are the ones that passed ballot measure 66. And my original objection was based on that I think they did that because, notwithstanding the good work done last session, they wanted the general fund allocation that was there plus what they dedicated for Measure 66.
President Patrick.
Madam Co-Chair, I'd just like to say that I think that that there was, it was up to interpretation. I think that the people who put Measure 66 forward were intending to set this based upon some of the conversations that I've had with people, whether this would affect other budgets. There was nothing out there in the materials that said that it would affect other budgets. We all know that. Unfortunately, the budget process is a very complex one. I had information that the people were assured that this wouldn't affect how money went to schools and how money affected other programs in the state. And, you know, it's easy to say that the voters mandated this, but You know, did they have all the information? We had, you know, we had a lot of debate in the House over the last day about whether we're sending out a ballot measure that's deceptive or not deceptive. Well, I think this was intentionally deceptive, and we're having to deal with it. And, you know, it wasn't a courageous attempt to fund parks by creating some new revenue source and increasing the budget. It was, let's take from another program in order to fund parks. So I would disagree. I think we did what, you know, I think that there's mixed review, and I think it is up for interpretation, and we interpreted it that way, as did the governor, that that this was, we increased the budget substantially.
I'm
sure.
I'm not trying to stand for debate, but I've moved the previous question.
Thank you, Senator Hammer. I appreciate that. Is that all right with you, Senator Metzger?
Well, I'd like to make a brief comment.
I would withdraw it if your comment is under 30 seconds.
Not a deal. Okay. I'm still a no vote for the same reason. I want to make that clear. I do believe that the voters' intent was to add more to the parks budget. I think it also will indicate the voters also have a responsibility when they vote this way. I'm not saying that this is not a responsible budget. But I do not believe it reflects what the voters intended, rightly or wrongly, and that's what we know.
Now to the previous question.
Thank you, Senator Hannon. Senator Hannon has moved the previous question. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we will move to the vote on Senate Bill 5530. I have three no votes. Leonard E. Metzger, are there further no votes? Senator Charles? Representative Schrader.
Mine is a no vote, too.
I got you. I said you were the very second one I mentioned. Okay, so I am showing five no votes. Representative Leonard, Representative Schrader, Senators Yee, Metzger, and Trump. Bill 5530, having received the required majority, is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And let's move to Senate Bill 405. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam. Didn't know we were going to make it.
We're going to go as long as we can, Senator.
Bill 405 expands Oregon's ability to provide community housing for persons with mental retardation or developmental disabilities. The sale of the Fairview property, the potential sale of the Fairview property, is what triggered this bill. The way Oregon law reads now, that money would have to be reinvested in capital expenditures if the existing other facilities that mental health has. This bill would allow the Mental Health and Development Disability Services Division to acquire and dispose of community housing and to give financial assistance to housing or care providers. It also sets up a Development Disability Community Housing Fund and allows interest earnings on the fund to be used for community housing. The bill anticipates the sale of the Fairview Training Center property after its signed closure in July 2000. It requires the sale price meet or exceed the property's fair market value. The proceeds from this sale or other disposition of Training Center property will go into a trust account in the new fund. At least 95% of the proceeds must be kept in the trust account. The division can spend up to 5% of the proceeds in any earnings or other income for community housing for persons with developmental disabilities. There's no significant budget impact in 1999-01, and the reason for that is that very likely the property cannot be sold in the remaining time that the budget period exists after the closing of the Fairview property. It's a large property, it's all its own. Very unlikely that one buyer would buy it, so it'll have to be sold over a period of time. They're working with the City of Salem as much as they can to plan and have a appropriate usage of the property as far as the city is concerned with its planning procedures. And so it's going to be probably a longer process. Any revenues or expenditures authorized in this bill will be reviewed as part of the agency's budget at the time that the funds would become available for use. The Human Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Fisher. Are there any questions for the Senator? Okay, hearing and seeing none. Are there any objections to the passage of Senate Bill 405? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 405 has been passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm showing Senator Fisher as the carrier on the Senate side and Representative Loken as the carrier on the House side. Move to Senate Bill 408, Senator Bryant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm happy to present you with an unfunded federal mandate called the Adoption and Safe Family Act. This was enacted November 19, 1997, and the goal of the act is to promote the safety of children in the child welfare system and provide incentives for adoption and permanent placement. Senate Bill 408 amends state law on permanent covering reasonable efforts, termination, parental rights, and child safety to allow the state to meet the federal requirements. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard the substantive issues and referred the bill to the full way for me. The Human Resource Subcommittee also reviewed the Personal Impact. This is pegged at $8.9 million general fund and $6.2 federal fund. Increased costs are expected in both child welfare and judicial systems. It's estimated there will be 750 cases that have to move through the system in the next biennium that otherwise would not. And most of these will be contested cases. Can catch the cases take more time. Also, involve DA and independent appointments, so those types of costs. It's probably $4,000 or $5,000 of additional infrastructure in there, right? The State Office of Children's Services families will need more workers to push these cases through the process, find other permanent homes for placement. The agency expects higher legal costs. The judicial department will be more active and, as I said, have more trial base and not providing new judges, so can judges where appropriate. As a result, you've got these additional costs that are out in the bill. Budget bills for the state office will be service to families, and the judicial department will include funding for the Senate Bill 408, and we recommend your approval. And if you don't do this, and we don't meet the guidelines, we lose other federal funds. And it's about $85 million. You wouldn't listen right away that you let it go.
How could we say no to you now? Since
yeah.
It would be un-American. Yeah. Hi, CJ.
Welcome, CJ. We're glad to have you here. Okay. Are there any questions for Senator Bryant on this bill? Representative Ross.
Does CJ concur with your recommendation?
He certainly does. He does almost everything I ask him for another 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Co-chair, I'd like to chastise Senator Bryant for not asking permission to use a visual aid for unfair emotional direct influence during a debate of the full way to make.
Well, I need to be trying to take a vote then if there's no further questions or comments. Well, we're all under duress here. are there any further questions or comments on this bill? Hearing and seeing none, are there any no votes on Senate Bill 408? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 408 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm showing Representative Loken as the carrier in the House and Senator Bryant as the carrier in the Senate. We will move to House Bill 2120. Senator Ferrioli.
The sunset has been extended by legislation twice in 1991. Bring them on the cars and you have the East Brandon out there and they are consulting the state to register the product with the Department of Agriculture. Authorized to collect an annual fee not to exceed $75 for that registration. Two residents are partially from the state health program and it's extended the recommended budget. Shield of the sunset is the size of veterinarians.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Any questions for Senator Ferrioli on House Bill 2120? Senator Schrader.
With the fiscal, this pattern fiscal is just to replace the existing position since the census would have gone into effect.
Aye, absolutely, sir.
President Patrick? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Are there any further questions or comments on House Bill 2120? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, there being no votes on House Bill 2120. All right. All I'm showing is carried on the Senate side, Senator Farioli. House Bill 2120 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And we move to House Bill 2349, Representative Ross.
House Bill 2349 allows courts to order testing for HIV or other communicable diseases of persons charged with a crime in which it appears that the transmission of bodily fluids from the charged person to the victim may have occurred. The law change may cause a small increase in the amount paid from the criminal injuries compensation account for ordering testing. In total, it is expected to have a fiscal impact of approximately $26,000 in the 1999-01 biennium. The Public Safety Committee reviewed the bill along with the estimated fiscal and concluded that the revenue for the criminal injuries compensation account and the Department of Justice other funds expenditure limitation were adequate to address these costs. This bill came out with no votes out of the Criminal Justice Judiciary Committee and to the General Government Subcommittee in Ways and Means.
And Chair, a blood test given to determine sexual transmission of a disease, can the blood test also be used for other evidence?
No, this is, the judge would have to order that separately if you wanted to use it in, the results of this test are strictly limited to information to the victim, and what it is, the reason this was done was to allow rape victims to get more immediate feedback on whether they had been exposed to HIV or hepatitis C. And instead of waiting several months until the trial had been completed, that is
okay. Thank you.
Just one question for the carrier. Would this affect the public safety officers as well? Would they be able to?
This is, I believe there is separate legislation that addresses them, but this would only affect them if they had been in a fight, a physical fight with a combatant and blood has been exchanged, then this would cover them in that instance.
Are there further questions for Representative Ross on this bill? Okay, hearing and seeing none. Are there any no votes on House Bill 2349? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 2349 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm showing Representative Ross as the carrier on the House side and Senator Burdick as the carrier on the Senate side. And we are to our last bill, House Bill 2775, Senator Trump.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2775 amends sections of the ORF that exempt state and state agencies from paying county recordation fees. Currently, some state agencies are exempt from paying recordation fees. The Support Enforcement Division of the Department of Justice is required to pay recordation fees only if they are recovered from individuals for whom the documents were filed. Although the number of documents involved may not be significant, record keeping and research necessary to identify amounts received to particular amounts owed is cumbersome for both counties and state agencies. This bill would require all state agencies to pay recordation fees in the same manner. Total estimated cost to state agencies is estimated at $10,000 for the 1999-01 biennium. No testimony was provided in opposition to the measure. Your General Government Subcommittee believes that the bill provides equity among state agencies and that the nominal costs will be offset by efficiencies at the state and county levels. Your subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions for Senator Cho on this bill? Okay. Are there any objections to the passage of House Bill 2775? Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 2775 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm showing Senator Cho as the carrier on the Senate side and Representative Hansen as the carrier on the House side. That concludes our agenda for today. Before we adjourn, Senator Hansen,
Madam Chair, if the Committee on Transportation Economic Development will adjourn to its regular committee place, we have a convention for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
You can adopt an amendment and send forth a bill. So if you can arrive very promptly, we would appreciate it.
Okay. And we discussed this morning in our subcommittee chair meeting that we need to, you know, be at our subcommittees, both our morning and afternoon subcommittees, promptly. We are primarily in work sessions now on bills. We still do have some hearings left to go, economic development departments for one. But please do try to be at your subs at the appropriate time. Senator Timms and I are going to work with House and Senate leadership to make sure that our members get excused so that we can get our work done and don't slow the whole rest of the building down. Appreciate all your hard work, and thank you for all your hard work this morning. We are adjourned.
Hello.